Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Moby Ditka. Yeah. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys, too.
Did you enjoy London?
I did.
You get fish and chips?
Did fish and chips. Did the whole thing. Went to Downtown Abbey. Is that what it's called?
Wrong.
Welcome to Downtown Abbey.
Well, Downingtown Abbey?
Nope.
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah. Did that.
This is Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. Unless you're the cashier who works with Ted in Ted 2.
They didn't have that baby. They'd just be two sad-ass white waiting for Downtown Abbey to come on.
This is Downtown Abbey. I want to talk to Groats about the baby.
Downton Abbey.
Guys, not every glance means something, all right? Life isn't Downton Abbey.
Life is Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah, Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey.
So I did all the London things.
We watching Downton Abbey later?
If I get out of here on time, yeah, we could watch it. If not, we'll just do it tomorrow.
What? Listen, I'm watching it tonight because I'm not going to go to practice in the morning and all the guys are talking about it and I'm left out.
Well, hey, do what you got to do.
Downtown Abbey? Is that what it's called? Downingtown Abbey?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Say what you will about Mark Grody's Bears reports or his sideline hits on WBBM, and I'm sure you've all said a lot, but that man makes me laugh.
Yeah, he always
does
smile with me, too. He's he is. He break glass in case of emergency. Grody pops out and you feel better.
I love Grody.
We need to come up with a nickname for him, though.
It occurred
to me when I heard that earlier today. We do it at the 2, or shortly after 2 o'clock. And then again at 5. He said we need to get a nickname for him. I don't know what it is. His Bears reports often have this sort of lounge act feel to them, don't
yes.
you? Can't you see him sitting by a fire with a turtleneck and a tweed jacket and a brandy in one hand and a cigar in the other?
It's just casual. He's putting out the vibe.
Yeah, we got to come up with a name for him. He's got a little Dean Martin flair to him. That's probably dating myself.
I mean, we hopefully can come up with a more modern reference than Dean Martin.
Yeah,
less alcoholic name.
right. Well, Dean faked a lot of it. He'd go on stage with apple juice in a glass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he drank a lot of milk.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, he had some other habits.
But I thought it was apple juice, not milk.
Well, yeah, he drank milk and apple juice. That's right.
It's very healthy. That's healthy living.
Yep.
Do you think his wife served him that apple juice when he was still laying in bed at 8:30
like
in the
Danny's
morning?
Wife does with his orange juice.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
So, I do.
Yeah, I know. Good. This is an interesting story that we have breaking news. This is first reported by the Phoenix New Times, but Paul Sullivan has written it up for the Chicago Tribune. Theo Epstein has been sued for damages that tenants claim were caused by his dog's excessive urination at their rental home in 2015.
Wow. You know, Patrick Sharp's dog pees all over Lakeview, too. But tell me more about this story.
Well, so apparently Theo Epstein rented a home for spring training 2015. They moved out of the house early due to a scorpion infestation.
Yeah, you got to get out of there if the scorpions are in there.
Yeah, some members of the scorpions.
Or members, you beat me to it.
Too easy. It was later shown in a repair estimate for $51,405. The couple in their lawsuit made reference to a quote that Theo made 2 years later in 2017 saying, "I can't even get my dog to stop peeing in the house," end quote. They referenced that joke quote from Theo, or I guess now it's not a joke, in the lawsuit. Reached by the Tribune to comment on the lawsuit, Theo replied, quote, As I said, we have no untouchables. Winston is definitely available in the right trade.
So I took it well.
Theo's able to joke about it, and Julian Green calls it baseless and frivolous.
Yeah, someone just trying to get a payout.
Yeah, but man, so they.
So wait, you mean to tell me that Theo's dog is taking a leak all over the rug?
Yeah.
$50,000 worth of damage.
And they kept the $5,000 security deposit.
Theo claims that his dog Winston's on the trading block. And so by this time next year, Winston's still going to be in Theo's house. There's not actually going to be anything done. He's going to act surprised when he continues to take a leak in the living room.
That's a bit of a stretch, but yeah, I think that is what I'm saying. I will be surprised, just like Kyle Schwarber, I will be surprised if Theo Epstein, in fact, trades his dog Winston.
Winston's like the Cubs in September of late.
That sounds like a house that is just destined to host Scorehouse 2 this coming spring training. We'll take it! Get a deal on that one!
That's a great idea.
Pre-dog peed.
I bet you Theo would actually show up at Scorehouse, too. if we rented the house that sued Theo.
Making this call out of obligation.
Yes, he would. Apparently a 10-pound... So Julian Green says, this frivolous lawsuit would have you believe that a 10-pound rescue puppy transformed into a nightmarish Leviton from the 1984 Alice Cooper horror movie and went on a rampage in a rental property. How about that? All right. Alice Cooper reference.
Alice Cooper, a man.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure. A lot of youngsters out there don't know that. They
you celebrate
don't know
the
that.
Birthday every year.
Look, 27 years ago, we do on this show, but I was at what was then called U.S. Air. Where were they? The Phoenix Suns played. The Bulls played the Suns in 93.
American West Arena.
America West, thank you. And I go down and I ask an usher on the floor level, where does Alice Cooper sit? Because he lives in Scottsdale. He's always at their games. He goes to the Coyotes. Games now, and he says, who is she with? And so I every time since then, this is 93 when that happened, so I think some people might need a clarification that Alice Cooper is in fact a man, originally named Vincent but named after a 14th century fictional character, Alice Cooper.
We learn something every day.
See how that works
on this show. The ALCS was just delayed, by the way, in the fifth inning. Series tied 1-1, Astros up 2-0, two runners on for over 18 minutes because of an umpire injury. And they were replacing the home plate umpire. Why would that take 18 minutes?
Thought it was a combo of rain, too.
I don't know. I'm just...
When I looked up 15 minutes ago, it did say under rain delay.
I just saw under delay, and on Twitter people are talking...
I thought it said rain delay, okay.
I just saw delay, and now people on Twitter are talking about the changing over of the umpire, so I missed what happened, but I certainly wouldn't think it would take that long.
No, it probably shouldn't.
So you were at Cottage...
Well, unless it's the crew chief who's hurt, because I think the crew chief usually takes over. If the home plate umpire is not the crew chief, then the crew chief takes over behind the dish, right? That's how it's always worked, I think.
Yeah, but
I don't know baseball officiating as well as I know NFL. So.
You have two extra umpires in the postseason doing the foul lines in the outfield, which I still don't know what they exactly do.
It's the best job in sports.
It might be.
A ton of money to be like, yeah, it's fair.
I don't even think you make a ton of money, but you make...
Oh, I'm sure you do.
You make something. Whatever it is, they're being overpaid because they're basically...
You're getting a postseason salary for that. Yeah. Sure, your rate for a postseason game is more than a regular season game.
Sure. So what do you think they make? $1,000?
Oh, I think north of that.
Okay.
Their union is not nearly as strong as some of the other. The NBA and NFL officials' unions are very strong. The baseball union has some catching up to do to the other.
But wasn't that the thing? Didn't they have like a spring training walkout or something and they got more... benefits?
I have no idea what he makes, but I also know that they're down the left field line and the right field line, and those plays are reviewable. Right?
So what are they really there
they're,
for?
They're there to call fair and foul, but then those calls are also reviewable.
Okay.
So what?
I called it fair, but go ahead and look. Yeah. Go ahead and look. Won't hurt me any.
Why are you
standing here and visit with this good-looking blonde in section 112?
They just get to stand out there for 9 innings and have a great seat for a baseball game. There's no reason to put them in there.
Whoever just called Danny genius, the guy says, a base umpire needs to get all the equipment on to get behind the plate, genius. 18 minutes to get the equipment on? Really?
I've seen it happen.
It takes 18 minutes to put umpire gear on. Come on.
Well, he was OCD, so it was quite the procedure.
All right, whatever it is. I mean, 18-minute delay in a ALCS game to change out the home plate umpire. Listen, Texter, I've actually...
Genius.
Genius, Texter. I've umped behind home plate. It's terrible. I'm stoned. It was a horrible idea. You did not get your money's worth when you paid me $60 a game to ump those college kids.
That's why you burned a bowl in the parking lot before you put on the mask.
It was, when Mike Pereira was on earlier, like, you people, you know, they 99.9% haven't done it. I wanted to say, well, Mike, I did umpire girls softball summer league baseball.
That's more than I did.
But he's talking about East Palo Alto, though, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, listen,
Pop
I'm not
Warner there is a different thing.
I'm not on his level.
In fairness to Mike, because I talked about some of the texters who gave him a rough ride afterward, he wasn't suggesting we're not entitled, the guy who hasn't umpired isn't entitled to his opinion. He's just saying it's not as informed as his is, and he's right about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think that what's also happening there is he's saying it is really tough and technology has made it so much harder because the ability to, like, they're making the call in real time, right?
Yeah.
Huge athletes, huge speed, they're making the call in real time. And then let's stop the game for 4 minutes, look at it from 100 different 4K angles, slow it down, zoom it in, get millions of experts on social media weighing in. Maybe they got it right, maybe they didn't. Like, it's just not that easy. Like, one of the things my theory, like I said to Blandino yesterday, is that officiating has gotten worse because of replay, because they're making the call to replay as opposed to what they're seeing on the field. But I honestly don't know, has officiating gotten worse, or have we just gotten better at spotting bad calls because of technology? I don't know if it's actually gotten worse in 25 years.
You know, when you said something recently, and you reiterated it yesterday, I thought about what you said and didn't really weigh in on your opinion that officials are more reluctant to throw the flag because replay will catch it if I don't. That's basically your thesis, correct?
Well, yeah, either way, it seems like, and the Saints game against the Rams this year was the notable exception when they blew the play dead and it stopped the Saints fumble recovery for a touchdown. It feels to me like they are very often, this is reviewable, so
I'll keep the flag in the pocket.
Let's just let it go.
Because I flashed to that last night when the PI was not called on a Packers defender on Jones Jr., when it was obvious PI, and I'm thinking, the guy's probably just sitting back there. If Matt Patricia wants to see if he can cop challenge number two to be overturned since week three, let him have at it. I ain't calling it. It was pass interference. It wasn't called as such, though.
Yeah, you keep saying that you would have absolutely challenged that call. Ron Rivera agreed with you. He said he would have challenged it. I understand why coaches are reticent to do it. If they're not getting overturned, if the standard for overturning it is unreasonable and they're not being overturned, that also happened in the Chiefs-Texans game. It's like, at some point, coaches are going to just stop challenging it. They're going to stop going by that rule.
But in a game as important as that was last night for the Lions, I don't know how you – I don't know. Was there about 8 minutes left to go in the game, I think, when that call was not made and could have been challenged? You got to throw it there. You got to throw it. You're being held to field goals out all night. Your offense is moving the ball, but you're stalling and you're settling for three. And Aaron Rodgers is getting revved up, folks. If you haven't seen the Packers in the last couple of weeks, guess what? Those who suggested that the LaFleur-Rodgers marriage would be a challenged one, you might wind up being right. But early indications are this team's got its S together. They are going great guns on the special teams. Their defense is playing terrific. They're getting great pressure from both ends. Their linebackers are very good, and they're running the football, something they really haven't done since, I don't know, a little bit with Dorsey Levens years ago. But it's been a while since the Packers have had a great running attack.
Yeah,
I thought they would with Eddie Lacy, but he ate his way out of the league.
Amon Green comes to mind as a productive Packer running back. But, it's... They have been very one-dimensional, and very predictable, and they're not anymore. They have, you know, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, and you saw it. You just it's easy to watch, like a bunch of guys going in motion, little misdirection plays, just little things to make the life of a quarterback easier that McCarthy wasn't doing and LaFleur is.
And the kid who caught the touchdown pass last night,
I keep forgetting
guy. Number 13.
Yeah, it's the last name starts with an L. I'll pull it up here in a second. Sorry. It was the guy that Rodgers said that he basically called for to come into the game. He dropped the one earlier. I got it here. Alan Lazard.
Yeah. Lazard is 6'5 and 220. Fun story, maybe you won't think so. Notre Dame was recruiting this kid, so was Iowa. But he had family members who went to Iowa State, and it was a big celebration day in Ames when he decided to sign his letter. The guy could have pretty much gone anywhere. Notre Dame was really hot for him, and when they announced the signing, they said, yeah, there's some school in northern Indiana that was sniffing around, but they're not going to get this guy to another state school. We got him right here at Iowa State. But that's what – this guy can run, too. So, I mean, that's going to be fun to see. Not fun from a Bears fan's perspective, but this guy looks like he's got some skill.
Well, that's the thing. The Bears' perspective of last night,
we've
mentioned it probably in every hour, and it still hasn't been enough. Like, losing a divisional home game is obviously a huge thing here, because that's what the Bears did to the Packers in week one, and now the Packers have wins over everyone in the division. They got to win over the Vikings, they got to win over the Lions, and they got to win over the Bears on the road, and they're 5-1, and the Bears still have to go to Lambeau. So that is a very, very tough putt, the result of that game last
night. Yeah, the Lions have to live with getting screwed last night, and they have to live with screwing themselves early in the season when they blew a big lead against the Arizona freaking Cardinals and settled for a tie.
Yeah, I'm still impressed with them, though.
I am, too.
They're better than
I thought they were going to be.
NFC North or NFC West, best division in football?
I think two of the best teams. I like the top part of the West, but I'll take top to bottom in the North.
Yeah, there's no Cardinals in the North.
But the Cardinals are not a pushover.
They're not a pushover, but they're not winning anything of significance.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't think the last place team in the NFC North are winning anything of significance either.
I think any four of those teams could win a playoff game.
Okay. Yeah, maybe 2-2-1 for both the Lions. Cardinals are 2-3-1 at the end there. I don't know. Arizona, I think they're the type of team that will be much better at the end of the year than the beginning of the year.
Is that because they have a rookie quarterback paired with a young offensive-minded head coach?
Yes, that is why.
I'm figuring you out, Parkins.
I've also seen Kyler Murray play. He looks good. Kyler, I watched a decent amount of that Falcons game.
Like, he's far from putting together a complete game when I've watched him.
Last
274 yards by halftime this past week, wasn't it?
Yeah, his last two games have been pretty good. And then you're right. He was definitely, I mean, the fourth quarter of the Lions game in week one. Last week was good.
Is your phone talking?
No.
It's not mine.
What that is in here.
There's a speaker underneath their your workstation there. Yes, there's something making noise. Well, we're due for a timeout anyway.
All right, well, yeah.
Let me back in a few moments on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here comes the 0-2. High drive into right. Back at the wall. It is gone. Grand slam. Montero. Game one hero.
Happy, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. And to you.
On this day, 2016 playoffs, Miguel Montero hits a grand slam, game one, NLCS against the Dodgers. My favorite non-World Series moment of that Cubs run. And honestly, maybe my favorite non-World Series Cubs moment of all time. That was the moment I was like, oh my God, if this guy can hit that home run in that game, overcoming the lead, it actually might be the Cubs' year. That was my favorite moment of that playoff run that wasn't in the World Series.
Yeah, it seems like there was one every game. Obviously, that one's huge, and you go up 1-0 against L.A. They lose the next two. God, it feels like that game one was all of a sudden a must-have in that. The Javi home run against the Giants, to me, where that thing, it seemed like that was a ball that got caught on the warning track for every year you watch the Cubs, and then all of a sudden, it gets into the basket, they win 1-0 in game one. The rally against the Giants, I mean, in order to win a World Series, there's a billion of them that have to happen, but that's, yeah, that's right up there with any of them.
God, it was so sweet. And anything that he said at the parade rally or how it went out or all that, I will always love Miguel Montero for it.
Calling out Jake Arrieta, remember?
Yeah.
His last day as a Cub?
Yeah.
Why don't you get the ball to home plate faster? Bag?
Whatever.
All right, you're cut, Miguel.
Yeah, thanks, they could have used a guy like that this past year.
Yeah, they sure could have. Hey, but we're not, I don't want to be guilty of, you know, living too much in 2016, right? The past is for cowards.
Little friction can be good for a ball club.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a baseball team, a football team, a radio station, little friction every now and again is okay. Keeps people on their toes, right?
You believe in a little friction at a radio station? That shocks me.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah, sure, every now and again.
I don't think people should be looking over their shoulder every time they walk down the hallway or anything like that. But yeah, I think a little friction is good. A little, you know, brotherly rivalries. Sure, that would be a good thing.
Sure. Camaraderie.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it all, I agree with you.
Sorry I was tardy for the segment. I wanted to beat the vinegar lady to the bathroom tonight. Because she goes in there at about 5:45 every night,
yeah.
And oh my goodness, you can't go in there for probably an hour.
They're just cleaning supplies.
Well, yes, but I know that, but did you go in there? That stuff is just so, in your face. Malodorous is a good word for it.
That would work. So
stings
you,
the nostrils.
So you beat her in there?
Yes,
so you,
okay. Yeah, I had a smoke and had a road game, and I was only about 45 seconds late. That's not bad.
That's an impressive commercial
it
break.
It is.
Very, very
right,
productive.
I know. I get it done. That's why Ben Finfer used to regard me as the Mark Burley of poopers. Get the ball and go to the plate.
Get a full hand wash in there,
next,
too?
Absolutely. Next time I take a book to the toilet, we'll be the first. I mean, they're on a business trip, man.
I like the cell phone. The cell phone's a nice touch in there. Go through Twitter.
I'm busy.
I just take
go some time. Through Twitter.
Yes.
Oh,
I
man.
I scroll the timeline.
Go through Twitter.
Read articles. Sometimes I'm done and I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to get up yet. I'm just gonna hang out here in this world. A little privacy.
On the toilet.
Yeah, why not?
On the toilet?
There's nothing wrong with that. It'll work. The cell phone, man. It's extended my average time on the throne. It really has. You're looking at me like I have three heads.
You're a Twitter addict. I am not.
But
and I feel liberated when I see so many people slaves to their phones. And there are occasions when I am too, but not quite as epidemic status as I see around here.
Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, given our
age differential.
Our age gap, yeah. It's been a bigger part of our life
right.
for longer, so it happened earlier. We developed those habits.
Well, you know, they say people who spend less time on social media are happier. That's what the research says.
I always wonder who they is there.
I don't
know.
But, the figurative they, the mental health community, I don't know.
I'm certainly happier when I give it up for a week or two.
I don't remember the last time I've done that. To be honest with you, because like, even on vacation, I enjoy reading and I get the Twitter aggregates the internet for me. So I read a lot of articles off of Twitter. So even on vacation, I will certainly be on it way less, but I'll take some time and read.
Crazy new place that you can actually read something that's not on a phone. It's called a book. Maybe try that on vacation.
Well, yeah,
a good way to get your reading in.
I do. But current events.
It's called a newspaper. Lots of vacation towns that you go to, lots of travel towns. You can get a newspaper.
No,
pick one of those up for a buck or two.
I know.
Catch up on current events.
Well, and there's, you know, I had Apple News on my phone. So sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't need to be on Twitter. I can just be on Apple News.
Oh, okay.
Get the news stories that way. That's good. What's wrong with that?
I hate being on my phone on vacation. Like when I get on vacation, it is So, like, and that's the only time I'm ever away from my damn phone. But I love it. It is so freeing.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the great things about last week for me was no traffic lights and no internet. There was internet available most of the week, except when I needed it Sunday morning to put in a fantasy football lineup. But I loved it. Not having a traffic light, not having the internet, not having anybody tell me, did you see what so-and-so said on Twitter? No, I didn't. I'm here living my life, visiting with friends, eating, drinking.
I just feel like people...
Tony Montana, go ahead, finish it up. Come on. Snorting. Yeah.
I just think that the... I don't look at it as mutually exclusive. I don't consider I'm missing my life by reading things on Twitter. But that is the judgment and the tone that people take. You're just in your phone. You're missing the world go on around you. I don't look at it that way. There is enjoyment there, and you're being informed and all of that sort of thing.
Right, I get it.
But there's no question that when I get off my phone and I put it down and I put it on my nightstand and I'm trying to go to sleep, I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have to feel like I want to check my phone 4 minutes later. That's a crazy feeling. I fully admit to the addiction.
Have you ever just tried setting it in the other room? Because even when I feel like I'm addicted to it and it's like, oh my God, I'm refreshing Twitter too much. I'm looking on whatever, Instagram or Facebook too much. Just simply putting it in the other room and it's out of reach or out of sight. I'm just like, oh, I do have a phone. I forgot about it entirely and it'll just sit there for 3 hours.
I should try it.
It's out of sight and out of mind.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot. Just one time when there's not an important game going on or something.
Yeah. And that's the thing. An important game. It feels like it should be an oxymoron.
An important game. Yeah, right. This is a big game. This is a big one. Yeah.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Burris Equipment. Visit them at burrisequipment.com for details. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats are led by Big Ten Coach of the Year, Pat Fitzgerald. They've got Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at nusports.com. We've been getting texts randomly. We were talking about Cam Newton. People were like, oh, if the Panthers move on from Cam Newton, he should be a Bear. Someone in the break texted in, would you be interested in bringing in Mariota or Jameis Winston if they're let go next year? I was talking to a buddy earlier today about, he'll never leave the Chargers because he's got 9 kids, but I live and dream in a world where Philip Rivers could be the Bears quarterback. That's why Mitch Trubisky needs to play well, because at this point, we're going to enter into a portion of the season where they could extend them this offseason. Nah, they're not going to do that. They'll let it play out, but they're going to bring in competition for him, and there's going to be names of guys who have credentials that are going to be available.
Yeah, it's going to be a great draft class for quarterbacks this year. Unfortunately, they don't have one of those in the first round. That's problematic, but maybe you find one in the second. I don't know.
But that's what you got Khalil Mack for.
Take one. Find one in the second round. Sign a free agent. If he doesn't get it done, they have to bring in competition.
Yes.
They have to.
Next year's backup quarterback for the Bears won't be a player coach. It'll be a young guy with upside.
Probably should have been this year.
I understand it. A ton of teams do it the way the Bears did. That's how the Eagles did it for Carson Wentz. I completely understand trying to maximize a quarterback's understanding of a complicated offense when it's only his second year in the system. I had no problem with this year, but I will have a problem with it next year.
And you saw what the Bears did with their practice squad this year, right? They took all of their own. Everybody on that practice squad, unless it's changed with additions since the season began, was one of their draftees or undrafted free agents. And while I think there's a part of me that thinks that's really cool, I also think it's incredibly arrogant to assume you know best on all of these, to not at least take a flyer on somebody else who another team thought a lot of and they didn't, and it wasn't drafted, but they put them. Yeah, go ahead and find somebody. You don't always have the right answers. And you certainly didn't with this offensive line.
There's no question. I think that part of why there's not a ton of in-season player movement in the NFL, though, is they say, okay, is this guy maybe marginally better? Maybe. But he also then is going to have to take time to learn our system, our calls, our checks, our audibles, all of that stuff. And then so then because he's learning the system on the fly, that makes him not as good as the player that you have in-house. I think that's a big part of the reason why there's continuity. And you're just like, I'd rather have the guy who knows the system from the practice squad than the guy who got cut from the other team that doesn't know the system.
Well, you can always find one on a practice squad and put him on your practice squad, too.
No question.
Sign him.
You could. You're wearing your birthday present from me today.
Absolutely. I'm very happy with this. You overheard me say I'm looking for a Hawks visor one day, and poof, there it is as a birthday gift.
It's
just
magical.
A week or two later.
The Hawks?
Yeah. Yes, I am celebrating. The Blackhawks put 2 points on the board last night. How about that? They beat the Oilers 3-1. Corey Crawford made 27 saves. I played very, very well. I saw the third period. He played well, but I still want to know why in the hell you signed a Vezina finalist last year if Corey Crawford is going to be. Robin Leonard of the Islanders last year was pretty damn good, and we're still waiting to see him break a sweat in a Hawks sweater. Why? Why?
I assume they signed him to be Crawford's backup.
I don't know.
You think he's better than Crawford?
Yes, I do. I think he can be one of the best goaltenders in the league. I don't feel that way about Crow anymore. I can call him Crow. I'm a Hawks guy. Hat proves it.
But the Seahawks broadcaster can't call him Russ Wilson.
Right. Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So you think Crawford is?
I think Crawford is an accident waiting to happen. I think he is on a ticking clock, and I think they should get Leonard as much wear as possible. Get him in there.
Wouldn't that be maybe a reason for not playing him as much?
Yeah. I don't know.
If you think Crawford's a ticking time bomb.
You know what? You've had a little bit of crisis early in this season. You know, you hate to think of something being a we need to win this thing tonight. But last night was one of those where, guess what?
Nice to get a win once.
Got to put some damn points up. That Western Conference is stacked, eh?
That's why they were a 2-1 dog to make the playoffs at one point. So, how you feeling, Big Chief Macock? You think they're making the playoffs?
If they can get in, they can win the whole bundle. That's all I know. I thought they would be right on the cusp of being a playoff team based on what I was listening to people who watch a lot more of it than I, what they were saying.
This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on 4 tires installed at CarX. The Bears are a favorite over the Saints, who most people, I think, believe are the best team in the NFC. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski about why coming up on The Score.
Joe O, live from Springfield, and Rick Camp in studio.
I hear the people talk.
Always love to have Joe Ostrowski in studio so we can do a little transition with him. Before we get to Joe, I just want to say, download or refresh or update the radio.com app, because they've added a feature that is crucial. It's like DVR for radio. You can now rewind, you can pause. So if you want to be able to fast forward through any parts of programs that you don't like, if you want to catch up on something, if you get called into a meeting, you want to go back and hear an interview, it's an awesome feature. They have upgraded the app in a big way, so make sure you update that on your smartphones or wherever you listen through the radio.com app. And it'd be a good time to do that, because today Joe Buck was on with Spiegel, Mike Pereira was on with us, Ron Rivera was on with us, Eddie Jackson was on with Mully and Haw. Big names on the station today.
Yeah, it's been great. It is a long time coming. I look forward to it coming to terrestrial radio someday. Maybe it'll happen.
Right.
Well, it's SiriusXM has it available. If I catch the last 30 seconds of a song on one of my many music channels I listen to, there is a replay button. I punch it, and I get it from the beginning. How about that?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can't do that on talk, though, on Sirius, right?
I don't think so.
You can
probably, because of the way it's tracked
on the app, you can pause and rewind, but I don't think you can. Yeah, I don't think that you can go back to the start of a segment or an interview or anything like that. But what's up, Joe Ostrowski?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It is awesome though too, because once in a while you do run into issues with podcasts. I'll hear complaints. We all do, and it's right there for you. It's all available.
Yeah, so update that app. What do you think the biggest reasons are for the Bears being favored against the Saints?
I think that
it was three and a half, four.
Yeah, but now it went back down to 3 today.
Yep.
I think many people believe that it is time for a Saints loss. This weekend, this consensus was that the Sharps were all over the Jaguars to take down the Saints. A little bit surprised they're sitting 5-1, 4 straight wins with Bridgewater. They think it's time. Back-to-back roadies, always tough as well.
Bears at home, Bears coming off the bye, all of those things.
I find it curious.
Yeah.
The line is telling you these teams are even on a neutral field. I don't think I can make that argument.
Did you have action on – we haven't really talked much about the gambling implications of last night's game today on the show. Did you have either side last night?
I was so close to taking Lions money line. I did not.
Oh.
I settled for I was all right because I settled for a teaser, Detroit plus 10, under 53. So I was safe there, but I felt – for everyone on that one.
Yeah. And if you had Green Bay minus 3.5, you thought, okay, look at this. He stops.
That'll do it.
And the total.
And that swung the total. Yeah, yes. It stayed under.
And it stayed under on the total. Man, that was an all-time gambling moment.
I say score the damn touchdown and let your defense have at it against Matthew Stafford with 58 seconds to go.
Gave it up.
I told you these guys were on our side.
Gave up the ball, 7 minutes left, never saw it again.
Yep, I think it's the right thing to do. I think, yes, you can bobble a snap. Yes, you can shank a kick, of course. But what's more likely, Matt Stafford scores or you shank a 19-yard field goal? I think it's more likely that Stafford scores.
Mm.
The only way you lose is by giving them the ball.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of clankage these last few years. They can't be trusted, these kickers.
Penalties can get you right down the field real quick lately.
Yeah, there are plenty of penalties. Absolutely. What are you doing on the show tonight, Joe?
7 o'clock, I'll check in with Dan Durkin, talk about the quarterback play around the league, and it's not just bad here. It's a lot of places we've got poor play. 8:40, I'll check in with my old co-host here on The Score, John Mamola.
He's John the Rock Mamola.
He's in Tampa Bay. I want to talk about the Trustman era and Jameis Winston after 5 interceptions. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Joe Giglio from WIP in Philadelphia. Talk about Gabe Kapler.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Yep. Have a good show.
The Rock Report.
Mike Pereira, Hub Arkish, and Ron Rivera were our guests today. Nick Shepkowski, the executive producer. Chris Tannehill handles the sound around here. Feel better, Mac. I know you got a little bit of a cold.
I'll be fine.
He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Just on fire. We had the time of our life. We played just beautiful music all afternoon, and we've been going. We've been jamming all day. Today, my dreams came true.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.